Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever it is for you. For me, this is Saturday night, 11 p.m., July 29th. Temperature, of course, to give you an update up here in North Dakota here, which is a lot better than the winter temperature, 76 degrees, 70% humidity, though, so it's quite up there for us. 8-mile-an-hour winds, visibility 10 miles, but then you got to have a pretty decent flashlight to go see more than 10 feet out there, so that's what's going on here. And this message is about the neighbors. I had a chance to finally talk to the neighbors, so I thought I would do so, and I got the same result as we all expect and have received. But I just thought I would write some kind of a sermon study or whatever on neighbors. Paul is pretty clear. We have to remember, Paul is quite clear, actually, that we should love our neighbors. Here are some verses. Romans chapter 13, 9 and 10. For this shalt thou not commit adultery. Here's where Paul reiterates some of those commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, here we go. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 15:2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And finally, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we're to love our neighbor as thyself, he says. Well, don't we want the truth? Well, we do now. So if I'm going to love him, I would think that he would want to talk about the truth just like we do. We want to be edified. We want no ill towards us. So we should do the same thing towards our neighbor. You've heard the phrase, treat others like you want to be treated. I guess that's how you could say that. Love thy neighbor as thyself. For his good edification, we are to speak truth with them, which is where the problem arises, and we are to work no ill to them. So let's look at this neighbor stuff and what Paul kind of has to say to us here about neighbors. Now, there's different kinds of neighbors out there, and I'm sure those of you that are listening to this, you'll all have one of these neighbors. The unsaved neighbors, who can be on the rough side with their 24/7 noises of their riotous parties, car, bike in their garage, revving up, tuning it up, and just playing around with their cars, you know, loud pounding music, drinking, and all this kind of stuff that goes on. Because apparently they think that we should let them exercise their rights to be loud and obnoxious. They profess today's popular narcissistic and selfie attitude without a doubt. They think the whole world is just about them. Then you've got those nice yet unsaved neighbors. They're still nice people. They're rare. They're thoughtful of the others. Usually, I think, anyway, at least around here, these are the older people who enjoy the sounds of silence and that know that silence is golden. Those are the folks that remember Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, right? Silence is Golden and Simon and Garfunkel doing Sounds of Silence. So we've got the unsaved neighbors who are rowdy. We've got the unsaved neighbors who are nice people and thoughtful towards other people. Then we have those neighbors who are specially nice to you, and they are the denominational religious neighbors. They base much of their salvation and testimony on being nice and loving to others. For many of them, their outward niceness and love, which we know is fake and selfish for a lot of them, towards us means the same to them as being nice to Jesus, and so they figure God will bless them physically and eternally as a result of their personal goodness and kindness and caring efforts towards those having a hard time in their daily life. Yet they believe that if you don't get baptized or join their ever-expanding loving church with a zealous and unwavering obedience towards the belief that Jesus came to America, you know who those are, or confess your sins to your perverted priest, or that expect you to take Saturdays off as the Sabbath, because theirs is the only true church, you'll either go to purgatory or you'll go to the lowest heaven. unless, of course, one of your relatives chooses you to for one of his baptism for the dead ceremonies, or simply you will go someplace where God isn't present, that's what Billy Graham taught, or you'll simply go to hell, which they really have a hard time believing, because God is such a loving God. How can he actually just be such a tough God and such a mean God, even have a hell? That can't possibly be true. That's what they think here. Then you've got those neighbors, rare, but we're getting more of them around here. These are those that are of other religious and foreign cults. They're being nice to you because to them, that is their victory over you, knowing that if you don't believe what they believe, then their God will soon allow them to kill you, as soon enough of them have enough come into the country to take over America. They start by making their neighbors become their friends. They get accepted into the community as respected and their godly, peace-loving, yet sadly discriminated people. Then they get involved with the state government, and eventually the nation becomes theirs. Just look into Minnesota to see what I'm talking about there. But I have to tell you, and this is my frustrated thing here, which is nothing new. I know this is nothing new in this sermon for you folks out there. But I tell you, the hardest neighbor I've had to deal with is that modern Christian who is following, imitating, according to their Bible, the apostles and Jesus by listening to their modern pastor who, in his or her good words and fair speeches, are teaching the love gospel along with the Jewish law, which we know was meant for the Jews and is taught to the Jews by what I call the pre-crucified Jesus. Their modern printed gospels, their Bibles, their gospels they have emphasize their own need for unconditional love to be like Jesus, along with using the tribulation books, Hebrews to Jude, to put guilt and punch to their sermons as they preach Old Testament's fear of God. We readers, of course, you listeners out there are aware, I hope, that all this all falls under the severity of God design, which is a totally false gospel today during this dispensation of the grace of God. And I do have a rather large sermon I'm working on about that severity of God versus the goodness of God thing. That still is just on my mind in this love gospel stuff. That'll come around, I hope, before school starts. So basically, our modern Christian neighbors hate the truth. They have their own fantasy of fun, and it's blessed by God. They hate the King James Bible. They say it's archaic, full of mistakes. You know that. Then the other night, like I said, it was very complicated, difficult language. You know, the these and the thous and that stuff. The teachings of the risen Christ, they hate that. They don't even know what that means, the teachings of the risen Savior, you know, the risen Christ. They hate Paul. He has a lousy Christian background anyway. God certainly can't be using him. They hate what we believe concerning all those things above, the truth, the King James Bible rightly divided, the teachings of the risen Christ by the Apostle Paul. They hate that. And they hate you and me for bringing up any of it during conversation at any time, in any manner, in any place. So to them, we are the bad neighbors. We don't play their fantasy game of their magic Jesus. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 7, verse 27, you'll see a verse that this is kind of how they look at us, you know, and they think that we're the ones doing something wrong. That really isn't the context of the verses in here, but it sure does be apropos to how they look at us when we try to love our neighbor as thyself by speaking truth, and we're simply trying to help edify them and show them some things, get them to think about some things. Acts 7:27, but he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and judge over us? Well, they just get upset. They feel so defensive and angry. They're offended by what we have to say. So they think that we're the ones that are doing wrong by trying to talk about this stuff. They still speak about their magic Jesus. They still bring up the conversation of their own talk about the signs, wonders, and miracles they've had in their lives. They mention the answer to some of the prayers they've had, not all, notice just some, and how God has blessed their lives and health and all that. It just goes on and on. But you know, we can't bring our stuff up at all. If we're willing to quietly listen with them, you know, talk about their magic Jesus, and willing to listen to their music and partake with their works of darkness, which we are not supposed to be in Ephesians 5, 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. I mean, we can be around them. We can talk to them. We're not going to partake with them. The key there is the word partake. So we can still have some good neighbor time. However, boy, we just don't dare correct them or play any music or bring up any scriptures or talk about Paul or talk about the risen Savior, even though they believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again. They don't want to hear what he taught after he rose again. It just puzzles me, but anyway. Even though they believe they can correct the scriptures and they believe their music pleases God, their Bible says that's music that God wants to hear when a King James Bible says melody. So their music is all rhythmic oriented, so they hop and jump all over the place, and they think that God must be doing the same thing, I guess. And they say our melodies bore them. They're quick to tell us that, too. Oh, that's just boring music. We don't dare tell them what Paul or King James Bible says about anything, even if they bring up the subject. They'll respond, we know this, that they'll respond in the same manner as people did to Paul when they were face to face with him, and they continue to do that same thing today. They called him mad, and they're just a part of a conspiracy to kill off Paul and his followers. You know, show me a conspiracist, give me talk to one, and I'll tell him two of the most proven and dangerous conspiracies of all time. One, Satan's plan to get rid of the King James Bible so he can become like the Most High. And two, those pastors, preachers, missionaries, evangelists, parents, teachers, family, and friends who are against Paul and again against that King James Bible, rightly dividing, showing the teachings of the risen Savior. Those are the two main conspiracies. They exist, they have existed, and will continue to exist for a while. Now, this is all brought about because I had an evening with my neighbor, and of course, I took my time. I develop a good relationship as being a good neighbor. I cat sit their fat, overweight, spoiled cat. I watched the place while they were gone. We went back and forth sharing campfire wood, and they've got their healthy homemade concoctions of salad, drinks, and veggies, and healing juices, and all this kind of stuff. Listening to their past activities of life since they now retired, I'm finding out that this guy has done everything under the sun. Had many serious diseases that God healed through the use of doctors, surgeons, and medications, etc., etc. Hearing about their prayers that have kept the hail away, but they still can't pray up any rain. On and on it goes, you know. And you hear these things, and I just bite my lip. Well, I finally tested the waters when I said, you know, nothing can offend you, right? Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so we can talk about Bible and God, right? Oh, yeah, right. Wrong. So last night at one of my campfires in my yard, I thought I would finally bring up which Bible he considers to be the Word and words of God. And right away, the storm blew in. Didn't take long, did it? And you know this. This is nothing new to you folks that are listening to this. I really don't need to go into any details because you've been down the same road with the same opinions given of modern Bibles, the same belief that God can impress on your heart what is truth because we have the Holy Spirit in us, all that kind of stuff, and their blowhearted, opinionated statements, that kind of stuff. His response to me saying to him that he was his own final authority was met with disagreement because he states that God shows him in his heart so he does know the truth. So God is still his final authority. So he didn't understand that one. This neighbor, as well as yours, I'm sure, like I say, says there is no single Bible today. Miracles, etc., done by God today. Well, Paul is a pretty good guy. That's all he said about him. Gospels are to us. Of course they are. And so is James, even though I pointed out James chapter 1, verse 1. But no, that's all to us today. He didn't understand my mailbox analogy, you know, where you go to get the mail, and if you want to accept all the mail to you, then you pay everybody's bills, but not all that mail is to you. It's all there for you because you had to go get it, but you got to give it to the people it's written. He didn't get that one. And he does agree and believe, not agree, but he does believe that the local church is full of the truth of Jesus today, and on it goes. He brought up the wrongness of a King James 1611. He brought it up. Of a 1611 King, he didn't just say King James Bible, he said King James Bible 1611. So apparently he's been approached by someone else somewhere, which is possible, or he checked into my website to see what his neighbor believes. Could be that. I tell you, from the moment I brought it up, I could tell I was going to be reminded of the truth of the King James Bible concerning him and his blindness. He had never heard of the operation of God, spiritual circumcision. He did not believe that there are any contrasts or contradictions between Paul's teachings from the risen Savior to the teachings to the Jews in the Gospels and Tribulation books. And he doesn't care that I can show them to him because he just says, well, they can't be real. We kind of talked about that. He did not believe there are any opposite verses, okay, any missing verses, any doctrinal changes in verses that are changed in his Bible. He thought the these and the thous were silly, and when I tried to explain them to him, he looked at, well, that's just how you try to explain it. Well, see, here's the deal. According to this neighbor, he's never heard of these things, then God hasn't told him those things, so they don't exist. Again, his final authority is him. All I could think of during that conversation is all about what God has shown him in his heart, and so he just knows what is true or not. I didn't bring up his immodesty. I didn't bring up his wife's immodesty. I didn't say anything about his accidental language slips. I didn't say anything about how he treats and talks to his wife. That would be like putting a lit match into a fireplace full of wood and lighter fluid. I can tell that. Romans 11:25 kept going through my mind. And you've heard me say this before. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. And, you know, we're talking about the mystery that Paul is given to give to us. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, it just goes on. And here's the thing I kept thinking of. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. These people are ignorant of Paul's teachings. He's ignorant of the risen Christ teachings to the Gentiles through Paul. He got the Gospels down, sort of. They don't understand it very well, but they at least they think they know it. And then it goes on that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And that is all Paul. That is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is not Peter. That is not James. It is not Jude. It's not those guys. That's not what they teach. And so these people who don't understand, that they're ignorant of the mystery that Paul talks about, and they don't understand that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles, that's Paul, to be come in, so they don't get that, and he says they're wise in their own conceits. And this amazes me. Here's a Bible, 400 years old plus, and he writes about this conceit that will take place after Paul comes onto the scene. That's exactly what modern Christians are. They're wise in their own conceits. They know nothing about rightly dividing. They know nothing about the difference between the Jews and the Gentile Gospels. They simply know nothing about the seriously dangerous differences from the Great Commission to the Jews in the Gospels compared to the Greater Commission of Paul to the Gentiles. Nothing. And then again, my favorite verse is Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and that's Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, yes, and you know this, I hope you know this by now, according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to the Gospels, not according to the tribulation, according to the revelation of the mystery, and that is only Paul, which was kept secret since the world began. I still ask myself, am I getting that through to people on this website when I talk about Paul? Or I got some doubts, I got some concerns. We'll talk about those in my next sermon or series or whatever. So to these neighbors, God is just like them. Really, if God's going to tell me in my heart what's right, da-da-da-da, then I'm just like God, you know? And Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. Okay, let's read that. This is where it's at. Romans 1, I don't have it printed on my notes, I noticed, so let's go to it in the scriptures themselves, the Bible. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, we see in those verses that these people, my neighbor, your neighbor, These people that have the magic Jesus, the gospels, the churchgoers, that whole bit, the modern, not the denominational bunch. They're caught up in social religions and all this kind of stuff. We're talking about the temples, you know, and you've got these churches that meet in places and these fancy on TV people. They have become vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart is darkened. And boy, do they ever profess themselves to be wise. Yet it says they are truly modern-day religious fools. And how did this happen? How did this happen for these people to be this way? Well, they change the truth of God into a lie, so they worship and serve the creature, which is themselves, more than the Creator. So with those lies now in their Bibles, they don't realize that they have changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. They don't believe that God can honor his promise of scriptural preservation, because none of their Bibles even have that promise in it. But they don't even accept that statement. They seem to think that God is just like a buddy to them and will bless them and teach them because they are such good Christians. And here's what he said to me, my neighbor. He said, "Now that I'm saved, Satan cannot be in me, nor can Satan hurt or affect him or his wife." So anything, any thought he gets, anything that goes on with him is from God, because Satan can't do that to him anymore. So see what I mean? Fools with a darkened heart. It's kind of like, even though they hate the Mormon church and those teachings, which I found out, they sure do seem to believe that they have become a god, or become like God. And so I got to thinking here, well, you know, concerning his Bibles, which he has three of them that he uses to kind of compare back and forth, they all say they must imitate Jesus. I asked him about that, and he said, "Well, of course I'm to imitate Jesus. I am to be like Christ. I am to be like Jesus." And we've heard that before many times. I then said to him, "Be like Christ? Really? You really think you are like Christ? You are what Christ is like? Seriously?" Boy, I had a hard time not mocking him or bringing my sarcastic, cynical comments out. I asked him, "Where does it say that in the scriptures?" And he didn't know, of course, but he truly believes he is like Christ and is like God. So there you have it. Oh, the frosting on the cake with these modern self-designed Christians, of course, is based on their baptism, which that finally came in at the end here, kind of a frosting on the top of this thing, is he stated at the end about his own salvation, although he said baptism doesn't save you, but that you still must be baptized to be saved. Okay, whatever. I tell you, and I tell you, and I tell you, and I tell you, folks, even though, according to Paul, it's not my call, it's not my decision, I can't see how a modern Christian can be truly saved. I just, that's me. How can they be so blind and still have the real Savior and reject his words and still have the real Savior? How can they truly have the Spirit of God in there and reject all this stuff and think like they do? According to the scriptures, if that's where they're coming from, they don't have the word of truth. It is not their gospel of salvation. They are learning and following and receiving another Jesus. And Paul is very clear about that in Galatians chapter 1. So these people are being prepped. Their teachings are prepping them and preparing them for the coming of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6, who is Jesus according to them, but he's the great imitator. He wants to be like the Most High, and yet this is a horrible thought, but they will shockingly find that they are part of Satan's army, Revelation 13. And if we try to tell anybody that, then we are immediately reminded, 2 Timothy 4, you know the verses, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." They won't listen to it. They want nothing to do with it. And it says, will not endure. They can't take it, and they won't take it. They will not endure sound doctrine. "But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears," who got them convinced that God is going to teach them stuff through their ears, not their eyes, "and they shall turn away their ears from the truth," as he did last night, "and shall be turned unto fables," the Great Commission, all those things we told you that he believes. And that time, that official time, is almost here, getting closer and closer. So we look at verses 3 and 4 for their verses. Those are the verses I just read. That's all about them. They will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's my neighbor, that's your neighbor, that's family, that's friends, that's just about everybody anymore. But we can look at verses 1, 2, and 5. Verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, I'm not good at that, I guess, with all long suffering and doctrine. In verse 5, he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, you're not going to get a church started, but not with Paul stuff. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Well, we got together again tonight, but his wife was with him. He doesn't want his wife in this stuff. He doesn't want her involved. It's just a submission thing he's proud to announce, you know. And he says, well, she gets mad when you talk about this stuff. Well, I understand that one. But the night went well. We didn't talk about anything because she was out there. So we still had our neighborhood fellowships with a campfire, so that was fine. And I think about this where Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season. And I try to think about how can I word my responses when I say something, and I come across preachy. But I kept thinking, how can you not come across preachy? Because that's their complaint. Oh, you're preach. Don't preach to me. I'm not preaching to people. We speak a simple, matter-of-fact fact. It is the final authority. So we speak like, well, this isn't, what do you think about this? This is what God says. And so you say that, just like Jesus said, they err not knowing the scriptures. And when you try to show them and tell them the scriptures, well, they turn their ears away from the truth, and they criticize you for being preachy. And I've tried to think of how I can answer and talk about this stuff without getting preachy. I get excited. I come up with verses. I come up with all this stuff. I guess it's just overwhelming to them. I guess maybe I should learn how to make one or two points and then drop it. It's hard, though. It always has been hard for me, as you know. Well, there's my chat about the neighbors. I tell you that stuff where he says there, you know, they just don't want to endure it. They just don't want to hear it. They really don't. And I'm running out of pizzazz to try, as I'm sure you are also. But preach the word, be instant season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, and love your neighbor. That's what he says.